Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. We are officially ready to kick off another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. Gentlemen, this month is flying by, but I can't think of another amazing time to spend this evening than chatting with you guys. And I'm going to go around the room, check with everybody. Again, we just wanted to say, Gary, it is so, so awesome to see you. I know it's been a rough couple weeks for you, man, but obviously our hearts and prayers are out to you, man, but just wanted to welcome you back and just like we tell everyone that joins, this feels like a little bit of therapy for everything too, so we wanted to say welcome and really glad to have you back for sure.
Yes, sir.
Curtis on, but we'll do a quick shout out around the room as always and check in with Jakey. Jakey must be coming back from an event, but how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, no, man, I'm good. I went to the gym, actually, getting back, trying to make sure I defunctified myself before I got on the call. Not to be filming or anything, but, you know, can't walk around like that 11 o'clock at night. I'm good, bro.
We appreciate that.
Go hang up some Cherokee this weekend for a buddy's 40th birthday party, so looking forward to that. Nice. Outside of that, I'm good, man.
Okay. Hey, again, we appreciate you not trying to funkify in front of us, too, man. I appreciate that 100%, so that's awesome.
Yeah, no, can't do that.
Fresh and so clean, huh?
Oh, so there
clean.
It is. There it is. So fresh. That's my ringtone for my phone, by the way, too. But a little outcast. Got to show some love for that. Rob Ford, how you feeling?
Hey, man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started tonight.
Gary,
wow.
What you got to say?
Rob's ready to get this party started, and I appreciate you guys. It's been a trying time for us. But you just got to try and take one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, I guess, sometimes, and, you know, move forward there. Been a rough few weeks for me. But it was really nice because Rob was out, and he had an opportunity to see Curtis. And, yeah, that was really special. Really special. I know Curtis was like,
yeah.
I said, "Hey, Rob's coming." He says, "All right, this is gonna be good." So he was excited.
Yeah, and obviously, Gary, we continue to pray for you and your family. Obviously, to stay strong, and it's definitely during a tough time. And I was amazed at how strong Gary was when he got up to speak at the funeral too, with a great message too as well. So definitely great job and staying strong for your family. And particularly,
well, you know
mom.
What, it was that was tough. That was tough, but I struggled through it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And one thing that was really neat is we had all those flowers, and I talked about all of our other relatives and friends that were laid to rest in this place. And so we took all of our flowers and we just covered their grave sites with all these flowers. It was awesome. My mom was so happy with that. And I know my dad would have been. But I'm ready to get the show going. So let's get it on.
Let's kick it off. All right. So
let's get it on.
The top topics was none other than Aaron Rodgers, A-Rod, and Green Bay response to the Lions. And that was a pretty interesting game right out the gate, I got to say, gentlemen, because the Lions actually came out. I was talking about how bad Jared Goff sucks, and he came in and just, like, marched the team out for that first drive, and just it was interesting to see them play. So, you know, but, again, as Aaron Rodgers always like to say, guys, relax. And, you know, it's an early season. We still got, you know, 15 more games due to the extended, of, you know, 17-game season. So what say you, Rob, about the performance of Aaron Rodgers?
Well, particularly in the second half last night, he was very impressive. I mean, not that he was horrible in the first half, but he definitely got better as the game went along yesterday. And, you know, making decisive decisions, making good decisions with the football. And, you know, he's still able to get some of those throws off on his back foot like only Aaron Rodgers can, right? So he definitely looked more like himself on last night. Obviously, when Melifonwu, the rookie cornerback from Detroit, third-round draft pick, who was looking like it was going to be a stud and a steal for the Lions, when he was in the game, the Lions were very competitive. And, you know, he was actually doing a really good job on Davante Adams as well. But then when he went out, I mean, the Lions had no answer. With Jeff Okuda being down and then Melifonwu going out of the game, the Lions just could not match up with the Packers receivers and Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers just exploited them, particularly in the second half. Then they got on with the short passing game when Aaron Jones catching three underneath touchdown passes too, as well. So Detroit obviously just did not have the personnel, just did not have the secondary, especially when Melifonwu went out of that game. They just could not match up with the Packers at all. I think if you're the Packers, though, you got to be still a little concerned about that defense. And the first half, Detroit was moving the ball on them at will practically. And then they made a few mistakes in the second half. They obviously didn't make it on that 4-1 as well. But I think if you're Green Bay, you still got to be concerned about that defense. And Joe Barry, you know, is he, you know, fit to be the defensive coordinator for that team? So I don't think they're out of the woods just yet. I think offensively they're going to be fine, but they still need help on that offensive line, and I don't think they're out of the woods yet with that defense either.
Off any cap.
Yeah, Jared Goff, remember that he was Jared Goff, fumbled the snap and just losing the ball and having it slip out of his hands. He just basically just torpedoed them in that second half. But I tell you what, the one throw I was impressed with Aaron Rodgers when he put that ball on Tanya down the seam, over the linebacker's head, just basically putting his shoulder pad. That was one of those Aaron Rodgers throws, just basically go, wow, yeah, he's still got that fastball and the accuracy with the placement. But if I'm being honest with you, that game to me was more about Aaron Jones. You touched on it. But that guy helped Dre beat me in the league because he went for 4 touchdowns. I mean, he just went completely bonkers in that game. And there's not a whole lot you can say about it. Yeah, he was on life support without that performance from Aaron Jones. So to me, it was more about Aaron Jones than it was about Aaron Rodgers because he exploited a lot of holes. And you got to give the Packers credit. Whenever Detroit stayed back in that two-high safety, you know, in that first half, they tried to stay patient and ran the ball, and got down there, and Aaron Jones cashed it in. And then when they started to get nosy and get a little greedy in the run game, is when you saw Aaron Rodgers was able to, you know, kind of loosen up a little bit and get everybody else involved. But to me, that was really predicated on the play calling by LaFleur and the running by Aaron Jones in that game and his ability to catch the ball off the backfield. So, to me, it's the other Aaron that was the most impressed about in that game for the Packers. But I agree, that Packers defense, you let Jared Goff do that to you in the first half, what are you going to do when you play for real quarterback? So, you know, they still got some things to do to work on, and we'll see how that works out for them moving forward.
Yeah, and I forget, speaking of fantasy, I forgot to put the fantasy shout-outs on our show topics, but I do have the shout-outs whenever we get to that point. I guess we'll squeeze it in some kind of way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I would say is to beat the Detroit Lions. So,
right.
Really? You know, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback that can look good and make any team in this league at different times, and he's done it look silly. But it's week two, and he beat Detroit. So I'm not jumping up and down and You know, I wouldn't be jumping up and down and beating on my chest, and I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is that guy that's going to do that either. But, yeah, it's just Detroit, and Detroit is, you know, that's what they're known for. You know, they can come out, man. They for 50 years, you know, for 50 years, 60 years, I mean, this is it. And they gave up a, you know, they swapped quarterbacks, and it looks like the Rams really stole something from them, you know. They thought golf was going to be the answer, but, you know, he's going to fit right in with the rest of it, with the organization.
Wow.
Y'all Detroit Lions fans is out there listening to the show tonight. Things are not all bad for you. Y'all still get to host the home game on Thanksgiving Day.
Which is the most ridiculous shit of all time, but yeah.
It's classic. Hey, they still play in the NFL too, though, Gary. So I'm just saying, you know, one day they'll figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
How old are you?
No.
You haven't got enough. We haven't got enough years left.
I was. Well, we were talking junk about the Cleveland Browns, and they supposedly finally got some stuff, you know, together too. So there's, you're saying there's a chance. It may take another 50 years, but there's a chance out there. We'll see.
Hey, it's going to be tough sledding for the Lions going forward. They're two best cornerbacks out, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
The final one with that thigh injury. But I tell you what, the Lions' offensive line looks much improved, though. I will say that.
That's what happens when you get an offensive lineman and head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming for your kneecaps. Mm-hmm. I'm coming for your kneecaps. And then I'm coming for more kneecaps.
Yeah.
And then you beast down. I'm coming for your kneecaps.
They drafted a kid from Oregon in the first round, so he's already starting that left tackle there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Penny Snow. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the leading candidates for the MVP after week two. That's kind of premature, but talk about that, Rob.
Well, to me, it's two guys so far. Tom freaking Brady, and who just doesn't seem to get old, and Kyler Murray. To me, they have been the two most impressive players in the NFL so far in these first 2 weeks in the league. You know, you look at Kyler Murray, what he's doing in the passing game and the running game, what he's able to do, running the football and throwing the football. Arizona is one of the most exciting teams in the league to watch because of Kyler Murray. He's just that electrifying. Not that Tom Brady is exciting to watch as Kyler Murray, but he just continues to put up the numbers. And he's just throwing touchdown passes. They're protecting him in the pocket. And that's Tom Brady's not mobile anymore, nor was he ever greatly mobile anyway. But you know, as long as they're protecting him, he's got all those weapons. He's going to pick you apart. And Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronkowski, he just got a slew of weapons, and they're going to protect him like the way they're doing with that offensive line. He's going to pick you apart. And to me, I know it's just very early in the season, just 2 weeks, but to me, those are the only two players that I would put in the MVP conversation right now.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And there's only one dark horse one we just touched on, and I think that might be Matthew Stafford, because you talk about swapping Goff and Stafford, and just almost a night and day difference from that Rams offense. That Rams defense has been good for some years now. But you're always looking to say Jared Goff is going to make a play or two plays that's going to kill him in this game. And like clockwork, he would do it. I mean, he's got Cooper Kupp looking like freaking, you know, Julio Jones in this prime damn near. He just went completely off against Indianapolis. So, I mean, I think some of his candidacy
in the game before that,
Brian,
he did too.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I think a lot of his candidacy is going.
In two games, seems like.
Yeah, he might have like five. I really want to see what he's going to do against Tampa, because Tampa defense also lost a cornerback. They reached out to my dude from Seattle that's out there on the street right now. But if he goes out there and duels Sherman, if he goes out there and duels with Brady and puts up a good show, he can enter that conversation. But I agree with you right now. I think it's a two-man race. Arizona is a much-watched TV. Baby Yoda is running around, have, you know, 30 yards in the backfield and just heaving it up to wide open dudes so they take it off and going to the races. That Arizona-Minnesota game, I thought was going to end up being 70-65 on the pace they was going in the first half. They slowed down a little bit, but I agree with you. I think it's those two. And Tom Brady's performance doesn't really need any explanation. He's just out there throwing 4 or 5 touchdowns a week. Like, it's the thing to do.
Yeah. Him and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins have a great chemistry already. That's amazing how their chemistry has been amazing so far, you know? So, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that Kyler Murray, he's fun to watch. He's kind of reminding me of, like, Mahomes, like when Mahomes is first year where he's just running around and just, you know, slinging it or whatever and no one could catch him or whatever. That's kind of some of the highlight reels that you're seeing from this kid in Arizona. I mean, it's really interesting to watch. He's good. He is really good.
Mm-hmm.
He almost lost that game to the Minnesota field goal. They got a little lucky to win that game, but he's still electrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those West Divisions in the AFC and the NFC, man, watch out. They are playing good ball out west.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gary, we're going to let you have the top five NFL teams here. And believe it or not, we were showing you some love whenever you were gone to the Cowboys, because we said even though it was a tough first game, we were actually impressed with how the Cowboys played. If you will, too. So just wanted to let you know, we didn't call them cowgirls or anything like that. We were showing them some love, too, and respect, too. So there you go.
Hey, Cowboys did well yesterday on Sunday's games. Come on.
I'm gonna have to go back and review some tape on you guys and just see what the comments are.
Review some tape.
That sounds like
I got to review the tape. But you know what? If we're looking at the these teams now, you know, right now I would have to go with probably Tampa Bay. You know, they're 2-0. Even though Kansas City's 1-1, they're still one of those teams that's going to be the best in the league. JQ, you mentioned the Rams. I would put the Rams in there. And then I would probably put Baltimore maybe and probably the Bills in there right now. But if you really thought about it, you could probably take any of these teams out west here and put them in the top five. And like in the NFC West, I think that's a division that's just, you know, what
loaded.
You know, you may have, several teams out of that division that make the playoffs.
Right.
That's a scary division. So, but anyway, so those are my top five right now. It's early on, but, yeah, Brady just finds a way to win, you know. I was devastated with that call week one that it was an offensive pass interference, but, you know, I cried for a little bit. And I did see that the referees had reviewed that and said that was a missed call, but that doesn't help you, after the fact, it doesn't help you now, but, you know, it is what it is, but... you know, there's calls like that every game. And when you give a guy like Tom Brady a little bit of time, you know, it really doesn't matter what team you are, you know, except the Giants. He's been able to do that too, you know. The Giants are that team that's kind of been his nemesis and winning 2 Super Bowls against him. So, but other than that, he's done that against every team in the league, you know.
That Joker gets that ball out so fast, it's just amazing how quick his release point is.
Yeah.
You barely have enough time to get to him. It's insane. Like he don't like to get hit like Peyton Manning. He's like, yo, don't let him touch me. But he just as soon as he drops, he knows exactly where the ball's going, and everyone gets there. So it's a sight to see for sure. That Joker is 9-0 against the Falcons. So what the hell? But you know, shit, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Maybe 10-0 by the time this shit is over, so it's all good.
Maybe.
What say you, JQ?
I can't quibble with too much of it, but we just talked about Arizona, and I know they got a little lucky, but I got to kind of put Arizona up there because, you know, good teams find a way to win. They made it closer than they should have been, but you got a whole bunch of teams, bunched up together. To me, I think Tampa is number one, and I think they're – probably on a tier by themselves, if I'm being honest with you right now. And then, you know, all the people we talked about in the beginning, I think, are still there. They had some stumbles, like Buffalo stumbled against, you know, against Pittsburgh. Baltimore stumbled against the Raiders, and then they bounced back. Kansas City looked good, and they stumbled against the Ravens. So, you know, like, I still like, you know, the Chiefs and the Bills in that as well, behind Tampa Bay. But then I would have to go with the Rams, and I probably would have to go with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That NFC West is just flat out stupid. I need this, and it's hard to leave out the Raiders, because that's impressive to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I know Pittsburgh has some injuries, but you got to put them up there in that conversation. So we may have to have one more week, and depending on what the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens do, you know, we're doing it maybe a little bit on reputation and what we thought was going to happen this year, but we may have to adjust that. And then those Panthers quietly are sitting there at 2-0 as well.
Panthers,
the Jets
too.
Beat, I know, rookie quarterback. But what they did to the Saints this past weekend was really impressive. So I got to give them a lot of credit. So to me, it's hard to get to five. I think there's about, you know, 8 or 9 there. Seattle blew a game they should have won against the Titans at home. They could easily be 2-0, except Derrick Henry just went, you know, batshit crazy on them in the second half. But, you know, you've got some teams there from 6 to 10 that are knocking on that door to that top five. So we're off to a really exciting start, in my opinion, to the NFL season.
Yeah, give credit to Carolina, because before, when I first looked at the
standings,
I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be Tampa Bay. I thought it was going to be the Saints, and then Carolina. You know, I thought Falcons, then Carolina. Now it's like, Tampa, Carolina.
I told you about
Falcons,
that shit.
You know, somewhere it's like, it's somewhere there. You're like, man, you know, because that defensive line, they drafted all defense, and they drafted all. So now you're like, all I needed was a quarterback, you know, and it looks like Joe Brady's doing a good job of, again, coaching, and then those weapons are, again, just starting to definitely come into play. And just, you drafted all defense, and it just, you got to be very impressed with what Carolina's doing, as much as I hate to admit that, but very much impressed with what they did, too. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, I agree that the Chiefs and the Bills, I think when it's all said and done, they're going to be right back in the contention and things. But my top five are going to be all teams that is 2-0 right now. And obviously, I'm going to start with the Bucks. They're the defending champs. They're still the one that's got all the personnel. We talked about Tom Brady. If there's one concern with the Bucks, they're starting to get some injuries in the secondary.
Yep.
They're starting to get banged up in the secondary. So we'll see how, you know, if the Rams can take advantage of that on this coming weekend. I got the Rams as the second-best team in the league. When you look at the Rams' defense, when you look at the way Stafford is playing and the weapons that he has, I know Darrell Henderson is questionable whether or not he's going to play this Sunday or not. I mean, that could be a huge blow to them. But I got the Rams. I think the two best teams are going head-to-head this weekend, and they just don't have them in the same conference, and that's the Bucs and the Rams. Number three, you know, JQ mentioned a little bit the Raiders. I mean, if you go and beat the Ravens and you beat the Steelers in back-to-back weeks and you're 2-0, I know they got some injuries right now, but Derek Carr has been impressive. The tight end is one of the better ones in the league as well.
Darren Waller.
They finally got Henry Ruggs going on a deep shot here. Alex Leatherford, unfortunately, got hurt, so he might be out a little while on the offensive line. I know he hasn't been perfect these first couple of weeks, but that still be a little blow to him. And their defensive line has been playing phenomenal for the Raiders, too. Very underrated group for the defensive line. So right now I got them at the number three spot. Number four, I got the Cardinals. I know they, you know, just barely escaped beating the Vikings. But you know, surprisingly, they got a defense and they have an offense. Even though the defense didn't play great this past weekend, they got some personnel on that defense. And I think before it's all said and done, they're going to be a real contender here. And number five, I'm going to go NFC West again. I got three teams in the top five in the NFC. Three teams from the NFC West in the top five in the 49ers. And the 49ers might have the best collection of offensive and defensive lines in the league. They're going to be tough to beat in the trenches with the personnel they have along the offensive line and defensive lines. They may not be perfect everywhere else, but they're going to beat you up in the trenches. So they're going to be a tough out as well. So I got them at number five.
I got a question for you. Okay, now, we know the 49ers are 2-0 right now, but they're in serious trouble because they just lost, you know, three running backs. So how do you think that's going to affect them? I mean, because you can't win without running backs.
Yeah, But, you know, you look at, Mike, the history of, I was about to say Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, as, man, they running backs, man, they plug and play. And they just find guys that can run behind an offensive line. It's just like plug and play. Will it be some drop off? Absolutely. But I think overall, I don't think it's going to hurt them that bad. They're going to be a competitive team just because of that offensive line and just because of Kyle Shanahan and his scheme, too.
He's
going to put something together. For them to still be competitive.
And I think what you'll find
– yards behind that line, man. We can get 100 yards behind that line.
Yeah, and I think
line.
What you'll find with them is that they might substitute some of that with the short pass game. You got to remember, they still got Kittle at tight end. He's probably a top three tight end, you know, Waller and Kelsey. And then Debo Samuel's been having an outstanding this season for them, the wide receiver. So if they can ever get out to the other side of it, you know, you, what you'll start to see is them try to shorten the game. Throw some more screens, short pass the game, and run the ball, but maybe not run it as much as they normally would because of the injuries. So you put a little bit more of it on Garoppolo's shoulders, but they're not going to ask him, you know, to be, you know, the greatest show on turf and go bombs away. It's going to be more controlled passing game, play action off of that run game. And like Rob said, with that defense, they may not wow you with a final score, but they're probably just going to find a way to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line, as you said, the way he schemes stuff, it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, I was never – when, as much as there's a love-hate relationship with Kyle Shanahan, I knew we were going to always be in a game. Just, he was just great at play calling. And anybody can get 100 yards with that line. He figured out ways to make him backs just be successful. That's, like you said, Rob, going back to Mike Shanahan. And the late, great Alex Gibbs just knew how to get offensive linemen, knew how to tell how to block. I mean, they don't cut block like he did back then, but he was just great at scheming.
Zone blocking scheme.
Yeah, anybody can be successful. And I'm not obviously talking about the talent. You don't have to have talent, but – they just know how to get running backs and get success too, man. So anytime you know, as you saw, all the backs in waiver wire were gone because they knew, hey, there's an opportunity that this unknown guy is going to be great in San Francisco. And then you take him out of San Francisco, he's not that great because it's just all about the scheme. So that's just how that comes
into
play for sure.
When you're able to run the ball and get 4 yards a pop and you're always in that third and two with an offensive line like that and – you know, a offensive mind for all those short yardage situations, you know, that Shanahan brings to the table, that means for moving the chains. When you're moving the chains like that, putting that other team off the line, you're resting your defense, and you're even a stronger team. And that's what he brings to the table. And that's why, and just like what you said, Andre, is, you know, he's got that scheme, and, you know, he can make an average running back look good. And then you see him, they go somewhere else, and it's like, what happened to that guy? Well, guess what?
There it is.
He's not in that type of an situation anymore. But, you know, so that's
running
a good
back,
thing. So if you get into a situation like they're in, where they have a series of injuries, and you can just plug and play someone in there and create situations for them and still get those 4 yards a pop, that's what you want. You know, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You want to move the chains, you know, and keep that – wear that defense down. And that's and it does. It wears the defense down. It starts running back.
He's a genius.
DB.
Yeah.
Safeties, they start creeping in to try and help out or whatever, and then that just creates a whole different situation for them. Wide open passes, and especially when you have a tight end like they do that's so good, you know, that can create separation and make the tough clutch catches. So, yeah, I don't like the 49ers, but I hate the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as New England or the Seahawks, but
All right, this question is for JQ. I'm trying to get through these topics here. JQ, and JQ has always been pretty high on the Colts, if you will, too. So, obviously, I still don't know how you injure both ankles, but Carson Wentz ends up getting injured.
Yeah.
Is he the quarterback of the future for the Colts is a question for JQ.
Well, I mean, he's got that fat-ass contract, so he's going to be the future for at least that contract is over because I don't think we're going to be able to get rid of it again. But, you know, when you knew going into it that was going to be the case. He's been injury-prone the whole time. Like, he's injury-prone in Philadelphia, him coming to Indianapolis getting injury-prone. being injured is not a surprise to me. What surprised me is that Indianapolis defense, and especially that secondary, they have been getting torched these first two weeks. Now, mind you, they played that tough NFC West. You had to deal with Russell Wilson, you know, in week one, and then deal with Stafford and the boys in week two. But, I mean, I thought they were more competitive than that on defense. Like, that secondary has been getting burnt to the tune of some crazy. Tyler Lockett went nuts in the first game. Cooper Kupp went nuts last week, I mean, on Sunday. So that's really been where I've been shocked at. I thought they would be able to cover up for some of Winston's deficiencies by having a stout defense, and it has not been as advertised. So that's really where I'm shocked at for Indianapolis. But, yeah, Carson Wentz is not that guy. We just seen where everybody else knew was going to happen. He was going to get hurt. And he's got a good offensive line, so I'm going to put it on that. But that dude, just for whatever reason, cannot stay healthy. So I would say no. But, you know, teams like that, the Falcons for one, and I have to rub it in. But I feel like they missed on a really probably elite batch of quarterbacks that came out this past year. And I'm not really sold on Spencer Rattler and his buddy from North Carolina.
Thank you.
I just don't think they're guys that you can say, yeah, I'm going to make them the face of my franchise, and they're going to take me to the promised land. So if you've got questions of quarterback, you might have to wait an additional year to see what this next crop comes out looks like, you know, 23, because I'm just not sold. Unless maybe somebody shows us something over this past, these weeks heading down into December, you know, as we gear up for the college football playoff, I'm just not super sold on it. So the Colts, I think, are kind of just stuck with that contract and the fact that, you know, they don't have the ability cap-wise to go get somebody else to be in there and be in that room that's going to be good when you're already paying Wentz that money. And I just don't think the talent pool is there in the quarterback class this year. You know, it changes from year to year, and I could be wrong and I own it, but I just don't feel that way about this quarterback class. Not how we talked about the quarterback class last year and was like, man, you got four guys coming in the first round that we think can really be game changers for franchises. Right. I'm just not sure that those guys exist in this draft.
Can't wait for Rob to talk about that too. So yeah, we'll let Rob get to that too, because we're going to definitely get his thoughts on that in the Superdome. But if you want to talk about that, Robert, so I definitely want to keep going. I wanted to ask Gary about Derek Henry's performance on Sunday. He just went plumb full off for Tennessee. Man, that was impressive.
Well, does it surprise you? I mean, I think he's one of the stud running backs, and he's been one of the most healthy, you know. I mean, just you know, to get back to just – let me get back to Carson Wentz real quick, okay?
Sure.
It doesn't surprise me that Carson Wentz is injury-prone like he is. And I think it – you know, and then you deal – then you go with a guy, you know, with a back that's such a stud, that's taking all of this punishment all the time. And then this candy-ass Carson Wentz. What a – you know, these two – last two topics, right? You got one guy that just mows over people – and then breakaway speed, got everything you want in a running back. And then you've got a quarterback that's got all the talent in the world, but he stubs his toe and he's out for six games. You know, what a difference. But I'd love to have Henry on the boys. I mean, that guy's just he's nuts. I think he's special. I think
he's like Earl Campbell. Like, he just is a load, and he hits that line, he runs people over, he's so physical, he's a beast.
Yeah, and the more carries
he gets, the better, too. You know, you got to keep feeding him that rock. The more carries he gets, the better he gets as the game goes along. You saw that this past Sunday. Got up a little bit of a slow start, but he got 35 carries in that game.
Yeah.
And the more they kept feeding him the rock, the better he got. And I think he ended the game with like 182 yards rushing on 35 carries. But at the end of the game, Seattle could not stop him. Man, he just gets stronger and faster, it seems as though, as the game goes along.
You get a safety or something that's coming up on him. And you've already felt that strength, you know.
Right.
And now you've got to come up and try and stop this guy. And just that slight bit of hesitation that you probably have because you felt that guy's power, and that's enough for him to just knock you on your butt again, and then it's goodbye, you know. He'll look for the next guy to run over. He'll run over two or three guys in a play.
There's a couple of guys.
One of the things that's more impressive so far this year with Derrick Henry, too, he's catching more passes out of the backfield, too, now in his first couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really impressive that we hadn't really seen. You know, a lot of these running backs in today's game, they're like dual threats. You hadn't really seen that out of Derrick Henry, but so far this year, you're seeing him catch the ball. I think he's got about 9 or 10 catches so far in two games, which is impressive for him. You know, and getting back to the Carson Wentz piece, too, you know, I totally agree. I think already the Colts are trying to find a way to get out of that contract after two games. And, I think they're trying to find a way to get out of it. You can understand Frank Wright, you know, taking the chances because of his experience with Carson he had in Philly, you know, just taking the chance when they went to the Super Bowl that year. But obviously this is something that it looked like it's failed already. And I think they're already looking for a way to try to get out of that contract if possible.
I was going to say a couple of those. When you talk about running backs,
might take
Garrett,
2 years.
It reminded me of
2 years.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're talking about running backs, it reminded me of a couple of people like you don't want to tackle. You don't want to tackle Jerome Bettis. You want to see that joker coming out of the backfield. And then even back in the day, I'm going to show my age here, Christian Okoye. You want no part of that joker. You know, that was a big dude.
See, that
was a nightmare.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, keep pounding the rock. You're like, man, that's a big dude, man. So it's just reminding me of people that you do not want to touch or tackle, man. Just that's that's just a lot. Hey, Rob, we're continuing with the show here. We're going to do fantasy shutouts after this, but can you talk about JQ kind of hit it as far as not being impressed with the quarterback class that we have, but Spencer Rattler, I don't know if he's the best of nothing, but what do you say as far as kind of the crop of the next draft class for 2022, if you will?
Yeah, we still want to see more out of this quarterback group for this class, and I think JQ, I still have Spencer Rattler number 3 in the draft, and right now still based on his potential. Still want to see more
potential
out of him. Obviously, against Nebraska this past weekend, to me, not just Spencer Rattler, but the whole Oklahoma team wasn't that impressive in that game against Nebraska. So we'll see if they're the real deal in the Big 12, but Nebraska gave them all they could handle in that football game. But I feel Spencer Rattler, number 3. Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher from Oregon, is obviously still number 1. Evan Neal, the offensive tackle from Alabama, at the number 2 spot. Kyle Hamilton, the athletic safety from Notre Dame, got him at the number 4 spot. And Derek Stingley, Jr., cornerback from LSU, in the number 5 spot. There goes top 5. We look at quarterback. One of the guys that's on the rise from the quarterback position is Matt Corral, quarterback from Ole Miss. You got to give Lane Kiffin credit. He has done tremendous wonders with this kid. He's lightening up, completing close to 75% of his passes. And he can move in the pocket. So as far as numbers, he's putting up the best numbers of any quarterback. I know Heisman conversation.
I'm looking him up right now.
We had that on the topics. But if you look at who's in the Heisman conversation so far this year, to me it's Bryce Young from Alabama and Matt Corral from Ole Miss. And to me, there's not a whole lot outside of those two. But Matt Corral, I got him number 9 right now. I got him as a number 2 quarterback in the draft. So for my last top 32, I had him like the bottom of the first half, but I've moved him up into the top 10 as of right now. Other quarterback to watch, Carson Strong from Nevada. You don't get to see them play that much.
Strong.
And obviously, we got to watch his knee situation there. But as far as arm strength and talent, he's right up there. So he's going to be one to watch. And another guy to watch is Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. I got him number 18 right now. Malik has got all the tools. Kind of like Trey Lance. He's got the athletic ability. He can run. He's got the arm talent. The only thing he doesn't have, he still doesn't quite have the reading defenses down just yet, but that's something he's going to learn. But as far as talent and ability, he's got just as much talent as any quarterback in this draft. And then JQ's favorite quarterback, Sam Howell, I moved him down to number 32. He's been moved down to the end of the first round. Obviously played a lot better the last couple of weeks, but, you know, the competition paper wasn't as strong. I know he put up 59 against Virginia this past week, and I can't remember who they played the week before. Some nobody. Sam Mitchell State. Somebody like that.
Appalachian State.
Sam Mitchell State sounds better.
But think about what you just said, though. Outside of Oklahoma, you said Liberty, Nevada, Ole Miss.
Wow.
And North Carolina. So, I mean, that's not normally where we go when we talk about quarterbacks and hot bands and programs. That's why I'm part of it. I mean, I guess I'm being elitist, and that could be true. But when you say that, going into a year, your four, your five top quarterbacks are from those four schools, and maybe you could take Ole Miss off with Ole Miss in the SEC, but still, was that Eli Manning, Ole Miss last time? Chad Kelly sucks in the NFL. So, the fact that that's where we are with where we're picking the quarterbacks this year in terms of who's going to go in the first round is, to me, speaks volumes about, you know, where we are in terms of the quarterback pool at some of these big name universities. I mean, you got Bryce Young. He's ridiculous, but he's still young. He's a freshman, so he won't be in it. So maybe in a couple of years when these guys mature and Eric come draft eligible, we'll have a different song to say. But this year, it's just, tough.
Gary?
Yep.
What you got, Gary?
No, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah. For those listeners, y'all can see the full top 32 on our Talking Sports with a 12-man Facebook page to see the full top 32. I know I just kind of went through the top five and the quarterbacks, so you can see the complete list on our page.
What do the Cowboys need, Gary?
What do they need? Mm-hmm. Well, they need somebody to manage their timeouts in the last little bit of the
game. I can't see the play clock.
You can't draft the coach,
One play, right? One play in the, you know, in the last, 35 seconds or something? You know, you
what
can run a few plays. You know, right. So, let's get better at that, you know.
Let's settle for the 56-yard. We got that, considering our kicker missed an extra point and a field goal last week. Yeah, Mike McCarthy was a fool, bro. Greg Sirlak knows him now.
He's like gambler, man.
Yeah. You know, watching that.
Well, he had no choice.
I saw the end of that game, and I was watching it like, what is he doing?
Like, right.
We all said, what are you doing? Who settles for a 56-yard field goal when you have a timeout? Who says, you know what, we good? Just make it 56 yards on your ass. Like, nobody says that. That's crazy.
No coach was like, come on,
I got my fingers crossed.
Oh, man.
It worked. It worked. So
it worked.
It finally worked. It finally worked.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's funny. Jason Garrett
days,
no.
You got that one last play, right? And you're like this. You know, you're just standing there and you're waiting. And then it's usually like this.
Yeah, that was wild.
Say,
that was wild.
But, hey.
I do say they do have a good coach already in Dallas, Kellen Moore. He's actually going to be a good up-and-coming riser, too, believe it or not, too, if Mike McCarthy doesn't try to, like, sabotage him. But other than that, it's just hilarious to see what's happening some of the decision-making. And I will say this, kind of in a little side note, and we'll let Rob do the fantasy shout-outs, if you will. We can kind of pick topics. Definitely keep an eye on CeeDee Lamb, if you will. He's been playing extremely well, if you will. Be impressed with him. And it's kind of interesting because we kind of talk about, you know, the kind of what if the redrafts. And last year, and I know Falcon fans were going to be pissed off because, you know, obviously the need was us to get, you know, a cornerback at the time. So we get A.J. Terrell. So, you know, that's what we got. Not to say that he's going to be a good player right now. But you have CeeDee Lamb right there. You're like, well, should we get a wide receiver? We already got receivers. We're going to pick the need. And then you look at the one time whenever you should have picked the best player, you kind of get that. Now you're looking at CeeDee Lamb like,
damn, it would have been a lot better to have him. Julio's gone. Our receiver corps looked a little bit different. You know, it wasn't a good decision at the time, but kind of revisionist history, like, man, that would have made this look a little different and lessened the blow, you know, of us not having Julio, you know. So I'm just, you know, kind of a little different kind of thought process, if you will, too. So especially watching how CeeDee Lamb has been playing. So I've been – he had a little – some drops, but he's been playing out of his mind. So just – shit, we can't get it right even if we get it wrong, man. It's just very frustrating. But we still got to get the line taken care of. That's just the bottom line. Doesn't matter who the hell we got. We can't even protect whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I digress. Yeah. JQ was right as always.
But Jalen Mayfield did play a little better in week two for the Falcons. He did against week one. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Matt Ryan's out there throwing ducks. Like, I saw two of them Matt Ryan's throws, and them bad boys went end over end. I said, come on, Matt Ryan.
He went and threw that pass to Calvin Ridley, and it was just like,
it was bad.
Rogers.
Like, it was a punt.
It's not a Russell Wilson pass. And we're like, I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. You know, and I give him credit. He made some plays. He scrambled, and I'm like, okay, I can't talk shit about Matt Ryan. And then he goes and gets, like, seven of his passes batted down, two pick sixes, and you're like, And Tampa Bay, no one's scared of us. They're like, it's like your little brother hitting you. Oh, you got one get hit. We're going to still like, you know, they didn't think they were going to lose that game. And we're like, whoo, everything's got to go right. Everything's got to go right for us. And they're just like, Tom Brady's like, man, I'm going to come back and just, you know, throw two more just to kind of like set it all up. And it was so disappointing.
It's mind-boggling.
Not disappointed, but it's
you
like,
start
yeah.
to see these quarterbacks when they get close to 40 lose it. And Tom Brady just keep going, and he's 44. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right.
That
freaking nature.
As much as I hate to admit that, but we're going to ask Gary between the Bucks and the Rams who's going to pull this off here real quick, Gary.
Between who? The Bucks,
the Buccaneers, and the Rams.
I'm going with the Rams, Dad. I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
I love
you
it.
Know
I love it.
Number one, Tom Brady's not mobile, and he's gonna have to. He gets it out quick, but he's also gonna get knocked around, and those are the types of teams. If when Tom Brady has failed in his career, it's those teams that are putting him on his backside. Like, look what the Giants. I mentioned the Giants, right? When the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl, they beat them because, you know, you can't throw a pass when you're laying on your back. And that's exactly what they did. They harassed him, they got in his face, and they knocked him around. So if the Rams can do that, the Rams will win.
Yeah. I like the Rams in this game, too. I like them. They're at home. I think they have the recipe for success, and I think with the Bucks, with their secondary issues, I think the Rams and Stafford will be able to exploit it with the wide receivers and their weapons. I think it's going to be a good football game, but I think the Rams are going to pull this out. I think they got the defense that could harass Brady just enough, and I think they have an offense that can exploit the Bucks' deficiencies in that secondary as well. So. Sean McVay is going to have the team motivated. They're going to be ready to play. And, look, the Bucs gave up 29 to Dallas. They gave up 25 to Atlanta. I think the Rams put a 31 on them, and I think they win 31-24 over the Tampa Bay Bucs.
I think it's 35-31 Rams, and I agree with you guys for that. And you touched on where I was going to go with that, Gary. The ability to rush the passer with four and not have to expose yourself in the back end by doing exotic, crazy stuff and letting Tom Brady pick you apart. That front four is one of the best front fours in the league. And they may not get home every time, but like you said, he's not mobile. You can push the pocket right back in his face. And we talk about it, they've got Jalen Ramsey. And you talk about all the weapons they have. You have Jalen Ramsey, and you can put him on a Godwin or an Evans, and you can roll the coverage to everybody else. They also have athletic linebackers. They can do so much in that back end with those front four to minimize what you do. I'm not saying they're going to shut them down. I think Tampa Bay still scores points because that offense is just so dynamic. But it's going to be tough sledding in that game. for them. They may get a quick hitter in there because it's just the NFL today, and you can't just maul somebody like you could back in the day, or they're going to call pass interference. But I agree. I think the Rams, if there's one game Tampa could lose this year, this is one of them. And I think it's the Rams. I think the Rams win. And I'm definitely not picking against Gary and his dad. So, for sure, I'm going with the Rams.
All right.
Yeah. A lot of love. A lot of love.
You know, my dad was such a Rams, such a big Rams fan, you know, no matter where they were. When they were the blue and white Rams, he had all the Rams stuff off to bring some of that stuff out. But, I think the Rams
greatest
are going to win.
Greatest show on turf, man.
And the differences in those two quarterbacks is, they have complete faith in Stafford, where with Goff, they were always, just like you had touched on, he can play good for a portion of the game, but somewhere along the line, and it was typically in a period of time when you absolutely needed him to be clutch, that's when he would fail. And I think with Stafford, he had to play for that perennial loser, and he made him a way better football team.
Right.
I was talking with a friend of mine at work that's been from Detroit and a diehard, Lions fan.
Bless his heart.
Said the same thing. He said, man, now we don't even have any chance with golf in there. We had at least a boxer's chance against a guy like Stafford in there. But with golf in there,
And no Marvin Jones.
But I'm curious if the fans actually appreciated Matt Stafford, because sometimes you kind of get the feeling like they didn't really appreciate it. Some of them did, some of them didn't, because they were like, they just felt like he was just like some disappointment. But it's like, it's tough whenever was it coaching? Was it, he had some talented players. They just weren't able to get over the hump, it felt like, But you're definitely going backwards. JQ said Jared Goff, remember he was Jared Goff. That's hilarious. You're like, oh, I'm Jared Goff. I got to F this up somewhere.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did. You're like, you're playing well. You try to get out of his head. And then he's like, oh, I'm Jared Goff. I'm like, yeah, man, you're doing good.
I think I only know a couple of people that are Detroit Lions fans. One of my team members here in Tampa, and he's a huge Lions fan. And actually, he still loves Matt Stafford. He says, hey, if they're not playing the Lions, I'm rooting for Matt Stafford. So I think from what I can see, Lions fans still are fans of Matt Stafford, and they're a little bit more understanding than what he went through playing with the Lions.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Man, it just goes back. They haven't had a winner since back in the day, since, Barry Sanders and, Herman Moore. Remember
Dick
that
Night
back
Train
in the day?
Lane.
Johnny Morton.
You got to go back
Charlie,
to Dick
Charlie,
Night Train
yeah.
Lane since they were winning.
Well, that's true, too. I'm trying to go back. Yeah, they haven't gone Jack.
Yeah.
Woo! That's crazy. Sure. They get released.
Buddy from Webster,
so
Alex, what's his name? Big dude that played on Webster, Alex,
Alex, it starts with a K. I know you're talking about.
But if I got a person from Webster, let you know how old that is.
Blazing Saddles over there. I thought you were going to go Blazing Saddles on us over there. That's funny.
To our listeners out there, we just gave y'all a little bit of history lesson tonight. We done brought out Dick Night Train Lane and Alex Karras from Webster.
From Webster, baby.
Come on. Please, let us know how many people watched Webster growing up.
Man, Emmanuel. Hey, Rob, do the fantasy shout-outs if you will, bro.
All right, fantasy shout-outs. Oh, shucks, I just had them posted up here. League number one, biggest win of the week, Eagles Chick for Life. Christelle from Riverside, California, her team had the biggest win of the week, 168-24 over Big Fast and Strong, 124.50. JQ's team, Ohio Players, in first place at 2-0. League number two, Bears Nation. That's Paul in Atlanta. His team had the biggest win of the week, 166.12 over Boxcar Willie 02, 105-22. And Bears Nation's also in first place at 2-0 as well. League number three, my team, Built Four Tough, had the biggest win of the week, 172.30 over L's Coalholics, 107.78. And Kraken, Chester, and New Orleans, his team's in first place with a 2-0 record. League number four, we won all the smoke. Rashard from Chicago, his team had the biggest win of the week, 167.10 over Domination's 86.92. And Andre's team's in first place. Andre's Black Lives Matter team, 2-0 in first place in league number four. So thank you all for the competition. As we go into week number three, those are our fantasy shout-outs for week number two. Congratulations, everyone.
Damn, Aaron Jones.
I didn't think I had a shot. I'm like, oh, I'm actually going to win this game. I'm like, oh.
I was sitting there like, well.
That was beautiful.
Well, it's over now.
Yeah.
That's it. Are you in the JV league? Is that what it is? You're not varsity yet like these guys are. You're in the JV league. You're the junior varsity league team, right? Well, good job. Hey, don't worry. You're gonna get up to the varsity. You'll get a. They're gonna get the suit up with the big boys soon. Don't worry about it.
Andre's face. Let me take a picture of that.
Shots fired.
I've had at least a couple times, by the way, Gary. Just I'm just saying.
You got the equipment manager of the year, is that what you said?
Oh my goodness. I got nothing after that.
I couldn't pick on Rob, this week, so sorry. I can't pick on the GOAT. You're the only one left.
I got a 1 week pass.
Yeah.
We gotta put that on a t-shirt. Go ahead, Dre. I didn't say it. I just want the record to reflect that I didn't say it.
It's all good. It's all good, It's all good. Oh,
man,
Gary,
I know
exactly
you were on the show a few weeks ago, man, but JQ had Andre going.
I heard. Well, look at it. Don't
worry. Hey, come on,
we'll
man. Let's go.
No, go ahead, Rob. We got to go ahead and end the show here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, wow, that time already. Ladies and gentlemen,
oh, man,
thank
I'm
you
sorry,
all for tuning into another great edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. We had a lot of fun tonight. We're going to have a brief OT portion for you, so click on the same link tomorrow, the next day, or the day after that, and you can get the rest of the show. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night for our friends in New York and Charlotte. In Miami, you tune in at 11 p.m. Eastern. For our friends in New Orleans and Chicago, tune in at 10 p.m. For our friends in El Paso, Texas, and Albuquerque, home of the Hot Air Balloon Festival, you will tune in at 9 p.m. JQ's favorite city on the West Coast, Fresno, 8 o'clock, stand up. Tune in on next week. Fresno State, they moved in the rankings. Big road win over UCLA this past weekend. LSU couldn't even do
huge
that.
Huge win. And speaking of which, you heard it here first. Ohio State and Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl because we suck. We are going to lose about 3-4 games. I'm telling you, they're going to the Outback Bowl. I'll be down there with you. Give me a ticket in Tampa
out of here with
so we can go
team.
Watch Ole State and Ole Miss.
Talking about the Ohio State Phoenix every week, man. They're going to beat up on Rutgers.
Akron. Yeah, but after that, it's over.
They already beat Minnesota. Got some sorry teams in the Big Ten.
Man. I'll see you in Tampa.
Indiana,
on New Year's
they
Day.
Can't even spell their name on the jersey right.
They're going to lose to Michigan State,
Indiana.
And Penn State. They're going to get three losses from them three. They can't beat none of them boys. We suck. So I'll see you in New Year's Day in Tampa. You make sure you get me a ticket to the game. I come down there and hang out.
Sounds good. stadium right around the corner from me right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Outback Bowl. And then Q always talks about the Ohio State food. Then you know you're going to beat up on the teams in the Big Ten.
Watch. Watch what I tell you.
Nebraska.
I didn't say they were going to lose to them. I told you the three teams they were going to lose to. Trash. They're hot trash.
Who else they got in that Big Ten? Maryland.
That's a win. They're going to lose to most Michigan schools. They're going to lose to Penn State.
You're going to lose both
Ohio
Michigan schools?
You're
going to
lose to
Michigan
and Michigan State? That's what you said.
Oh, yeah, we suck, bro. Yes, we trash. I hate to say it. It hurts my soul to even think about watching those games in November, but it's going to be bad. It's
man,
be
they
bad.
Lose three or four games. They ain't going to even make the Outback Bowl.
I'd say the Gator Bowl. They
might
ones
be
in Orlando, ones
in
Tampa. Or
San Diego.
Nah, they're going to go to the Gator or the Outback Bowl. You know they're going to put them down there in one of them games.
Oh,
one's in Orlando, one's in Tampa. Either way, I'm coming to I-4, baby.
There you go.
Oh, man. Where's Curtis when we need him, man? Because JQ is full of doo-doo.
Yeah, you know what? I stepped away and wanted to see what happened with Curtis, and his phone's off. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I'll try and give him a call. So.
Yeah, make sure everything's okay.
Posted.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go around. I know we were coming up since Gary's firing last little shots. I wanted to let the show kind of like ride out, and we'll come back. I'll have something for Gary next week. I'm excited. I'm letting him kind of rest from his dad, so I'm gonna be nice tonight, man, so I'll let you get your shot in there. But next week is going to be on, so Missy will be fired. So just rest assured that but before
fired.
We do that. So, it's all good. But as we're kind of getting
just
ready
just don't bring
for
a knife
this,
to a gunfight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. There's a lot of love. So I'll let you kind of pick your last topic, if you will, because I know it was going to be a brief OT session. And you pick your whatever you want to talk about, and then we'll wrap up the show. So whatever one you want to talk about, it is on you. So you can start it off, JQ.
So I was going to go to the football prediction one. I'm not really impressed with Notre Dame, if I'm being honest with you. I think Wisconsin wins that game. And beat Notre Dame. I need that for the Big Ten. But even outside of that, I just think Wisconsin's got a better team. And Texas A&M, quarterback is still hurt. Arkansas quietly is actually playing good ball. I'm going to go with Arkansas. It's not often that you say I'm going to take Arkansas, but I'm going to take Arkansas over Texas A&M in that game. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the lower seeds. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I'm going to go with Arkansas.
I agree with
you
on both of those. I know we don't always agree on our predictions, but I agree on both of those games. I have not been impressed with Notre Dame at all, not a single ounce. And you hit it. Texas A&M got a backup quarterback right now. They're struggling. I think Texas A&M's got more overall talent on their team, but, quarterback is a big position. And Arkansas has been physical. We saw them. They just whipped Texas in the trenches and just dominated the football game. They look really good. I know this game is in Arlington, Texas, but I like Arkansas as well. I totally agree on both of those games. So definitely, I agree. Yeah, I tell you, early surprises so far in the NFL. To me, Teddy Bridgewater in Denver. I mean, he's been impressive.
Yeah.
He did not play that well last year for Carolina at all, and. He's been outstanding on both of these road victories. I mean, I know the competition may not have been that great going on the road, beating the Giants, going on the road, beating Jacksonville. But he's definitely been an early surprise for me so far in this football. And the other one is Derek Carr from the Raiders. He's been impressive. I mean, he got off to a rough start early on in that game against the Ravens, but, he turned it around rather quickly. He's been impressive in both of these first 2 weeks. And Ben Simmons, training camp. Can you believe the NBA training camp starts next week? Unbelievable. Seems like the season just ended. Yeah, but all reports is he's not going to report to training camp next week. Definitely a bad situation for the Sixers and Ben Simmons. I think he will report by the time the season starts because I know he's not going to lose that money. But I think he will try to play hardball with the training camp. But right now, the Sixers are in bad shape because you're going to get little or nothing from Ben Simmons right now. The way he's putting on the act right now, and it's the Sixers' fault, obviously. It's Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers' fault for a lot of the comments that they made after the playoffs. And, you know, they are not going to get any trade value for him because Ben Simmons was straight up atrocious in the playoffs. And then with the owners and the coaches come out saying too. So, you know, they're in bad shape right now. I mean, he's going to have to come out and play these first 20, 30 games to be incredible in order for them to get some kind of trade value for him.
I agree.
What is the value? What is the value? Can you get something for? I mean, what would you get for? I mean, if you had to, you know, guess, what would be the value for it? What?
Hey, well, like right now you're probably looking at Buddy Hield and the draft pick. Yeah, probably
that low. Wow, interesting.
Yeah,
like first round.
I don't know. You could probably still get CJ.
The salaries don't matter
because Dame is still holding Portland's feet to the fire. You could probably still get CJ. I don't know if Portland does it, but you could probably still get CJ.
Right. Yeah. Salaries.
I would do that because they got Norman Powell, they got Anthony Simons that can take CJ's spot, and he's still an elite defender. He can still slash to the basket. You know, I would do that.
But he's not going to shoot it.
No, he's probably not going to shoot it. But that's okay. We got enough.
But they got enough shooters.
Yeah.
That's not a bad trade for them at this point because CJ's game would be good for Embiid because he would spread the floor for Embiid.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the name that Simmons has. So how would Philadelphia feel about that if that ends up being a straight up trade? If the Sixers fans be pissed, even though Phil would be probably a good fit for him.
I agree. To me, if they can get CJ, to me that's a good fit for the Sixers. I mean, that's gonna, you know, it's only gonna be like Olajuwon kicking it out to those shooters back in the day with the Rockets. You know, if you got somebody like McCollum's gonna have a lot of open 3-point shots. If you go to Portland with Embiid, to me that's actually a good fit. And even to a small degree, Buddy Hield, he can knock down that jumper, those open shots too. I think CJ would be better. But, yeah, if they can get a shooter and spread the floor like the old school Rockets do it, yeah, I mean, that's what they need.
I agree.
I think Buddy Hield averaged close to 17 points last
year. This year is going to be incredibly hard for me watching sports without my dad, because especially football. Football was our deal, college and, you know, and pros. And – we started watching football together where I understood it. I mean, because I would sit in the front of the TV and I would ask him what's going on and all this stuff. I was 5 years old. This is 1965. So we've been watching football together for a long time. And this is going to be my first season without him. And it's going to be tough. But I know he's with me, so you know, I'm preparing you guys to be a time when you lose someone you love, or when you have that person in your life, you know, whatever your differences may have been down the road. My dad and I had very few differences. He was great, just the most phenomenal father. But, man, just embrace that person, that brother or their sister or whatever that's frustrating you or whatever. Forget all of that. Put your arms around them, tell them you love them, because you just never know. And someday when we're offline, I'd like for us to have this Zoom call, and I'd like to talk to you a little more about that, all of us together, and tell you what I was able to experience. That's a personal thing. We'll do it at another time, but I want you guys to know. But anyway, I really appreciate you guys. You guys have been, sometimes you don't, you know, especially, you know, dealing with Curtis and dealing with my mom and dad and everything. You guys have been such a pleasure and something that I've looked forward to every week. And I tease one of you all the time, but I want you guys to know that, you know, I love you as if you're my brothers, and I really appreciate you all. So thank you.
Absolutely, man. Love you too, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's all love, bro. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And definitely a great message, not only for us on this call, but definitely for our listeners too. And I mentioned at the start of the show, you know, how Gary was strong, and he kind of delivered that same message at the funeral too, how important it is for us to cherish one another and be thankful for one another and enjoy those moments. So a lot of times we take these things for granted, me included. And we can't afford to take these moments. We can't afford to take our moments with our family and friends. We can't afford to take these moments for granted. We need to enjoy it, embrace it, and hey, tell our family members, tell our friends that we love you. And we have to enjoy these moments.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I know we got a little detailed talk show, but yeah.
We can wrap the show. So, all right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I guess that's a good note to kind of wrap up the show for sure. So, you know, we'll do it again. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same channel, if that's okay with you guys. For sure.
Yep, works for me.
Sounds good. 11 p.m.
All right.
Good night, people. All right. Good night,
y'all.
Have a good one.
Good night.
Have a good week, guys. Yep. Good night.
Bye, y'all.